We're back into our teaching, the life of Christ. We're going to look at an area tonight that really, in many ways, is probably one of the most notable miracles that Jesus did. We want to look at also God's purpose and why he does it. When you understand the scriptures and you look at God, God doesn't just do things. There's purpose in what he does. And there's reasons for it. And sometimes doing things, we may be in a position that we don't understand why he does what he does the way he does. And sometimes I think that people spend too much time trying to understand what they don't really have a need to understand. Sometimes you just got to accept that God did a certain thing a certain way, that he had a purpose in it. Sometimes God does things and moves in certain ways to do something because he's ministering to a certain person, and you know, nobody else needs to know about it. Mm-hmm. And he does it in a certain way. So it can sometimes, some things seem unreasonable, and we think, well, man, you know, why didn't he do it this way, or why did I hear people do that? God always has a reason why he does. He's never frivolous. God doesn't use his power. Just put it this way, God's never a show-off. He doesn't do things to show off. He does things with a purpose. There's an outcome that he desires and wants. And that's what he's shooting for. God doesn't do things to please himself. If he did things to please, he didn't save us just to please himself. Yeah. It wasn't with him. Nothing was wrong with him. He was doing fine. It was us. And so, all that Jesus did, in fact, you know, coming down here in this earth as a man and walking down here and giving up the glory of heaven is enough. But then he turned around and died for our sins and took the punishment for us and those things. Well, all of that was done for us. And as we look tonight, we're going to go to the Gospel of John, the 11th chapter. The Gospel of John is a very different gospel than the first three gospels we have, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Because John does not spend a lot of time really dealing with Jesus and his miracles, his healings. John talks about a few healings and things and stuff that are not spoken about in other gospels. And really, almost half of John's gospel deals with the last week before Jesus was crucified till after he was crucified. It's that small time period. When you read John from the 11th chapter on through, you're looking at Jesus from his triumphal entrance into Jerusalem to his with spending his time with the disciples at the Passover and the revelations. And understand this, most of the revelations that Jesus spoke to the disciples about during that time period in those chapters were dealing specifically of revelations that were coming, not actually have happened. They're revelations of what was coming. The Holy Spirit. All those things were set into there, and he's revealing those things. And so, really, John is very interesting that God used that part of that and brought that in. So, there's many things that you can learn in John's gospel. There's a lot of wonderful things there that we can see. But we want to look at this because he talks about this, the miracle dealing with the resurrection of Lazarus. And we're going to look at that tonight because this is very interesting. This resurrection has a very significant purpose in it. And it doesn't seem reasonable to humanity. We would think about doing something differently. But God had a plan. Really, in many ways, we're going to find this out as we look at this miracle of this resurrection. It's really like the last major thing that God is trying to get the attention of the Jews, that the Messiah is standing in front of them, and yet he's not received. It's sort of like one of the last things. This is the big, because it is done right outside of Jerusalem. Most of Jesus' ministry was done up in Galilee. In the areas of Galilee was most of his ministry. See, a lot of people, when they think about Jesus' ministry, they think about Jesus and the temple and all that stuff. Very little of his ministry was done there. Most of his ministry was outside of there. And this was the thing, because down in Jerusalem was the place where all the religious leaders were, and they hated him. They didn't want to have anything to do with him. They didn't like it. That's why he ended up going, when he was down there, he ends up crucified there. And so, when we look at this, and God really, in a sense, this is the thing where God really turns on the light. but men are in darkness. And remember, the scriptures talked about in the beginning of John that men hated light and loved darkness. And that's what where Jerusalem was. Jerusalem was a place where men loved darkness, hated the light. When the light would come down to shine, they rejected it. So we're going to start off here in John the 11th chapter. And we're going to start with verse, just at verse 1. It says, "Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha." See, it was that Mary who anointed the Lord with her fragrant oil, wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. It says, "Therefore the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick." It says, "When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now, I want you to see, understand this. Remember, we talk about this all along, and you need to get this picture of what is taking place here. Jesus Christ did not decide to do any of this. This is a man operating as a prophet. He's the Messiah, but he only does what he sees God do or what he hears God say. In other words, we know from what he said, he had already had a revelation of what was going to happen. He already knew it. How did he know it? He didn't know it because he was God. God told him. Just like you can hear from God. I've had this numbers of times over the years. I knew things ahead of time before they happened. One of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to show us things to come. It shouldn't be something weird that we look at these things and say, oh, wow, this is very mysterious. Shouldn't be mysterious to the church.
Amen.
It's one of the things that should happen to us along the line of knowing. I'll guarantee you, I've heard people all the time say things like, I had a sense something was going to happen. I've had a sense. But most of the time, people never follow that sense. So they never get any clear revelation on it. You've got to learn to ask. If you keep getting a sense about something, talk to God about it.
Amen.
You might very well get something a little bit clearer about that.
Amen.
I found out over time doing that, is to get a sense of something, and I get a sense and say, Holy Spirit, are you trying to show me something? Is there something I need to know that maybe I'm missing here that I need to know ahead? And you'll find those things out. So he said here, immediately he said that this sickness is not unto death. Well now, we need from the standpoint, because we want to find out that Lazarus died, but you understand how Jesus taught. Jesus knows the end result of this. He knows what's going to go on. He knows what's going to happen. He's talking from what he hears in the Spirit saying, not what people see in the natural. You have to learn to do that yourself. If you want to encourage yourself in an area, God gives you revelation. Talk from the revelation standpoint, not what's happening around the people. My job or your job isn't to please people. We want miracles. You know, you're not many times not going to see miracles happen when you're talking everything is like everybody else around you. You're going to have to do it different. So Jesus makes this statement, and he said, what's the purpose? Now this purpose is for the glory, he says, but the glory of God, that the Son of God, that in other words, Jesus himself may be glorified through this. What is the purpose of glorifying Jesus? God is trying to reveal the Messiah to these people. That's what he's trying to do. Should I tell you this? God is trying to reveal the church to the world. The church needs to wake up. God's trying to look, just as Jesus was the representative of God in the earth, we're the body of Christ. We need to get this picture in ourselves. You know, it's one thing for God to glorify people or me trying to glorify myself. But God wants to reveal his glory through the church. His church is his instrument. You know? And so we need to know. It's the same thing going on here. It's the same thing. God, his purpose. What does he do? God is in the business of reaching people.
Amen.
Amen.
And that's what he does. All his motives and everything. God was totally, just like, people say, well, you know, God's willing that none should perish and all should come to repentance. Well, it was the same way back there, even before Jesus died. God's trying to reach the people who are the covenant. He's trying to reach Israel. They're waiting for the Messiah. The Messiah's walking around in front of them doing miracles, and they don't like it because why? They want glorified. The leaders, oh, we want to be in charge. We want to run this thing. We love God so much that we don't want him messing with us. You know, we want to do our thing, you know. We want to run and we want to be in charge of it all. And so, if you want to stop the move of God, that's the way to do it. It's men trying to glorify themselves. Men who want to run the show. There's one thing, as I found out, if you want miracles, you better cooperate with God. It's hard to do them without him.
Amen.
Gets real difficult. So you got to cooperate with God. Well, it says, now listen, it says, I really love this statement. It said, now Jesus loved Martha and his sister Lazarus. Now I want you to picture this. Look at what it says. People say, well, God loves everybody. He'll love everybody the same.
That's right.
Here he specifically makes the mark. He classifies them specifically as loving them. Well, would you think naturally, why would John ever wrote such a thing? See, John even wrote about himself that he was a disciple that Jesus loved. I'm going to tell you what. Do you think Jesus loved all his disciples identically?
No.
No, he didn't. You know, you can love everyone to a certain degree. But, you know, it's just like, you don't want to, you know, nobody, I have never met anybody who loves everybody the same. I never met one. Now, I know people who act like they did and everything, but, you know, God will forgive them for their stupidity. But see, there's a difference concerning how you love different ones. The Church of Jesus Christ don't understand that God's love toward them and the difference concerning the sinners. Doesn't understand it. God loved me and died for me, but I'll tell you, he'll do a whole lot more for the church when he'd done for Ed back then. You know, we're his kids, and just like with you. You know, people do things for their kids. You want to do everything for everybody else's kids like you do for yours? No. Nah. Well, you must be a sinner. You must be a terrible person. That's all I can figure. Because if you listen to church world day, we throw everything in one can, shake it up, pour it out. Good thing to make everybody feel guilty. There's something wrong with you. See, you're just not right. Something's wrong with you that you like somebody else better than another person. I'm sorry. There ain't a person in this world that is a different man. Not one. And neither's God. You can tell the way God reacts toward people that some people he's more inclined to than others. The closer you walk with him, the more inclined he is towards you.
Amen. Preach.
It is. And we don't like to hear these things because the church has a different doctrines about love and forgiveness and everything. Different than God does. And like I said, I may get over to teaching on some of this because there is a real perversion in this area and Christians are trying to arise to a place they can't go because the doctrine's wrong. They're trying to be what they're not. And God never called them to. And what happens? They feel guilty. What's wrong with me? I can't arise this place. They set a bar so high, nobody can jump it. And the people who set the bar are probably missing it more than anybody. But they turn around and rejoice in your failures. And magnify your failures. You need to get straight. Nope. Ain't the way it works. Well, he loved them. It says, so when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Now think about that. Now, so they come and say he's sick. And what does he do? He stays where he's at. Now, what would you do if you had, you know, these people you really love, you really like, and you heard this has happened? What would you do? What would most Christians even do? I mean, you got to, and you know what? Most people expect that's what you're supposed to do. You don't, it's about listening and telling God. No, if you're a good Christian, this is what you'll do. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. This is how you react to this. This is what you do. See, I found this sometimes, you know, you have the things. You can know exactly what to do, but people, Christians' expectations are totally different than what God has shown you to do. And this is one thing is we have to watch. We don't judge things really quick. It's one thing is that you guys have heard me talk about. The worst thing we do, especially when emergencies arise, the worst thing is Christians do. They feel like they have to do something right away. And God's the last person they contact after they do all their thing.
Yep.
Then, let's pray and let's ask God what to do. And stop and say, hey, hold it, Lord, what's going on? So what he does, he stays there 2 more days. So, well, as we go and find out that when he arrives, when he finally does go, that Lazarus has been dead 4 days. He stays there 2 days. In other words, God is going to do something greater than a healing. God has a plan to do something. Why? God's going to use a situation. God wants to not just have this mirroring, another healing. This is a specific thing that he's going to do. Why? That Jesus Christ would be magnified, this in the earth, that he's here. God wants people to see that he's the Messiah. See, we need, these are things that, this to me, this is, when I, like this story here is an incredible story because it means more than what this story of just raising a guy from the dead. Because we found out, the last time we talked, there was a guy got raised from the dead. Mm-hmm. Jesus, you know, he ran, walked up and touched the thing and, you know, yeah. Don't even wake up, guy got up and did that. This is much more than that. This is a working of God here, this thing. You know, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The devil thinks he got this thing. God is going to use this situation. And so we need to understand, this is why it is important for us to understand what God wants to do, that God wants to do. This is why we need to stay or keep ourselves really over in the area where we can be led by the Spirit of God.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Because, and it's another thing, if we... Many people want God to move through them to make them look good. And God ain't going to do that.
That's right.
You know, are we doing this to magnify Jesus or do we want people to see us? You know, as I always tell, like when, you know, I was at Raymond, people would ask me, because, you know, close to the ministerial staff, they used to say, what can you do to get close to them? I realized these people wanted to get into a position where they look good. It had nothing to do with God. It had, they thought, well, if I get close to somebody, I could promote my ministry or something. Number one, it ain't your ministry. Get over it. Sit down
Amen.
And shut up.
Amen.
It ain't your ministry. It's the ministry of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And what we do is we want to glorify Him. He's the head. And we want to, because you know what? You can't save anybody. You can't do that. You know, if the Holy Spirit is not in us from the standpoint of the move, the preaching of the gospel, people ain't going to get saved. You're just going to be standing there talking. You know, He saves people. The Holy Ghost anoints us with it. You know, this is a God thing. And so we want to be in a position that God can use us, but we want God glorified. And this is one thing is we're going to find here, the glorification of Jesus Christ. So it says, then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. And the disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and are you going there again? So, that Judea is not the popular area for them. It's not the place where you go run down there and go to. And so they wanted to stone you. You're going to go down there? You know, these people really like you down there. They love the miracles, you know. They're down there praying for, I'll guarantee you the leaders down there ask for moves of God. They want God to move. They want God to do stuff for all the wrong reasons. And, but they want something to, you know, for themselves. And it says, Jesus said, are there not 12 hours in a day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of the world. But if one walks in the light, he walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. Now I want you to see, what Jesus is talking about here is not talking about daylight. He's not talking about that from what he says. He's not talking. Now understand, the Jews had, they had 12 hour day. The day was 12 hours and the night was 12 hours. They didn't do our 24 hour clock. It was 12 hours. So he makes a thing and he says this while the light, you know, he makes this, the thing about the 12 hours in a day. He said, if anyone walks in the light, he does not stumble. Who is the one? Who is the light of the world?
Jesus.
Jesus is. In the world, at this time, there is no, you know, who's the light of the world now?
You.
The church is the light of God in the earth. Jesus was the only light in the world at the time. Everybody else is dead spiritually. Everybody else. He is the only light. So he's making a statement that him, he's the daylight. He's the 12 hours. In other words, he's in this earth. He's the 12 hours of light. And then the night, which is a place, because he makes this statement when he said, the guy who, he does that stumble because he sees the light of the world. He says, but if one walks in the night, he stumbles because what? The light is not in him. See, that's the world. The world don't have the light in them. We were in the world. We didn't have the light in it. We stumbled along. That's anybody. When you're not saved, you're stumbling along. That's what you're going to do. You don't have light in yourself. And so he's made a statement here, which from their standpoint, I think they just took it as a, he's just talking about regular light, regular night. And so then going down because of what is said, he makes it because they made the statement. They said, hold it, they want to stone you. Jesus said, no, I've got to walk in the light. In other words, he knows what he has to do. He knows where he has to go. God told him. God told him where he's going to go down to. They're saying they're going to stone you there. He's trying to tell them, hey guys, I've got to walk in what the Father said to do. I've got to walk in the light. I'm the light here. The light has to get down there. The light has to go to that place. You know, sometimes, you know, you're long down there. I remember the first time I went on a mission trip, I went to Peru. And the Lord spoke to me specifically about going, telling me to go there. And so, you know, I just planned on going. At the time when we went down there to Peru, they were having a lot of the communist insurgents who were in down there. Were doing all kinds of trouble, had a lot of things going on. And going down there, people say to me, are you going down there? Do you know they're having a lot of problems and a lot of this? And I said, God told me to go. I said, I don't watch the news to see if it's okay.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
This is where most Christians, Amen. This is where most Christians mess up. Because, you know, they feel they're supposed to do something, but everything looks like you shouldn't do that. And they're the first one, I gotta take care of my life. God can't.
Come on.
God said to me, go. I never thought twice about it. You know, I thought, God said, go. There's one person I told him, I said, if God can't take care of me, I'd never serve him. What would I serve him for if he can't take care of me? He ain't much of a God. Amen. Tells me to go somewhere, but, you know, the devil acts up and let's go hide. So, and you need to get into that thinking. So Jesus is there, sure. There's trouble down there, but God said go down there. He knows what he's going to end up is going to happen to him. He understands that. This is his destiny. What's your destiny? Shall I tell you what? If you don't know it, you'll have a hard time following God. This is why many Christians have a tough time following God. They don't know their destiny. You got to know your... I want to tell you what. What is the job of the Holy Spirit? He's to show you things to come. God reveals the end from the beginning. When I got saved, the night I got saved, I knew my end. See, people don't know. People don't. It's because of the way we believe. Religion teaches us a lot of wrong things. Mm-hmm. You know, I live by Jesus day by day. Well, in a sense, that's so all right. But I'm going to tell you what. You better know where you're heading to. You can never get to a destination you don't even know is.
Amen.
If you don't know the destination, most people, they're living every day in the same spot. And they'll live their entire life in the same spot. They don't know their destiny. See, if I know my destiny, you know, what I'm supposed to do, because see, along the way, this is where people get, well, I really don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't want God, you know, I'm waiting on God to tell me. And I said, nobody's waiting on God. God lives in you.
That's right.
Get that in. He's inside of me. There's a destiny for me. You know, it's like if I learn along, if God told me to do something, if this is what he wants me to do, I'm going to be happy squatting right here and doing it. I don't care if it don't seem like much or anything else. Mm-hmm. But you got to follow where you're at. You learn to be content where you're at. I say, well, I know he stopped me along the road here. So this is where we stay till mm-hmm. if he says something else, then we go do something else. But right here,
right.
This is where we stop.
Yep.
See, you can't be content. Impossible. If you don't know where you're supposed to be.
Amen.
From the time I got born again, I knew where I was supposed to work. On jobs. I knew it. I wasn't sitting around wondering in here and there, what is God in here someplace else? That'd be a good thing to figure out right away, wouldn't it? Am I in the will of God every morning when I get up? Am I in the will of God? Well, I'm serious. You can't stay in contentment if you don't know. And you know, it was always like that. You know, when God told me when I first got born again, I was working in Reese's. And I talked to the Lord about that. And He said, I want you to stay put right where you are. You just stay doing what you are. You know, I'm also, you know, when the day come to make a change, He told me. Mm-hmm. He told me when it's time to make a change. He let me know. Next job I took after that, and I went into, was time to leave there. He told me when it was time to leave there on that job. I was new. You know what? I didn't know because I was a spiritual rocket scientist. I just figured God would want me to know. See, what is your expectation of God? What is your expectation of Him? Are you seeking after a God like it's trying to keep something from you and it's hard to get? I'm going to tell you what. God will let you know things. He's not trying to hold back about your life. Mm-hmm. He wants you to know. So get yourself over. You know, some people, they might be in a job and God has them do that their entire life. But I'm going to tell you, you're going to be happy till you know. Because see, you get on a job and you know what? It don't go well. And you're always, and you're discontent. You don't know where you're supposed to be. Because see, you can be content in the middle of trouble if you know God sent you there.
Amen.
But you can't if you're not sure where you're supposed to be. See, and I learned that. I learned that about that. You know, I was always fussing before I got saved about Reese Candy Company working for him. After I got saved, it all changed. I found out the nuisance was me. The nuisance got changed, and I looked around me, things hadn't changed, but I changed in how I viewed it. Number one, I knew I was in the will of God there, and I was happy. Hey,
amen.
I'm where God wants me to be, and God will bless me here. See, that was my land of milk and honey. I'm in the middle of where God placed me.
Yes.
This is your place of milk and honey. That's what you have to know. If this is God, He will bless me here. Now, He will bless me here. He might not. You know, everybody expects, well, now I got this guy I work for, this place I work, they got to do this for me or that for me. No, God does. He puts you there.
Mm-hmm.
Quit putting the pressure on them and start trusting God.
Amen.
God always did more for me than any business ever did.
Amen.
God didn't have to have that business just to bless me.
Amen.
He knows how to bless. So understand this. This is Jesus knows His destiny. He knows what's going on. This is why He can head in a direction. And it's a hard direction. But if you don't know where you're going, the direction's about 100 times harder.
Amen.
You're moving in a place that's really difficult.
Amen.
You may be in a difficult situation, but it sure makes a difference if you know.
Mm-hmm.
This is where God has placed me in this. And this is where I'm at. Like He's with me in this because He put me here.
Amen.
And so you need to get that. Get that within yourself because you need that for your faith will not work without you being content. It won't work. It won't work. Because you're believing out of your trouble and not out of faith.
Amen.
You don't want to do that. So Jesus is headed in a direction. He's going somewhere. The disciples said, hey, hold it. You want to get down there? Don't you know they stole it? You know, it's like they said they knew that He was the Messiah and they believed that. Well, to a point. Point, because He says we're going down. Well, we don't know about this. Didn't you know they want to stone you down there? You didn't know that?
Right.
It's like He forgot. Usually, don't forget about people who want to stone you. That's usually right up there on the list. So He's going down there. He's the light. In other words, what He's going down there, He said, I got to go down there because what? I got to take light down there. Down here in Jerusalem is a place of darkness. I gotta get down there and take light down there. The world down there, I gotta take light down to that world. I gotta get down there. So He's heading in that direction. Well, in verse 11 says, these things He said, and after that He said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. See, now understand, He's talking from a faith standpoint. He's talking from His destiny. He knows what God wants Him to do. Remember Jairus and his daughter? What did He say about her? He walks up and says, she's asleep. What does He know? He knows what He's going to do. talk in the words that God sent you to do, not in what's around you and what's happening around you. I find this out. Trouble comes and happens, and all of a sudden there's a lot of voices talking all kind of stuff because they're all focused on the problem.
Amen.
And what they want you to do is get your voice focused on the problem and not on the answer. And you know what the answer is.
Amen.
Amen.
You know what the answer is. Just get yourself focused on the answer. You know? And in a crowd, you know, I mean, Jesus got these close guys walking to them and he says this stuff. Don't you think he knows what these boys are going to be saying? Mm-hmm. But you know what? He don't change what he says. He doesn't change it. So, he said, Lazarus sleep, I'm going to get down. I'm going to go wake him up. Then the disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get well. So see, I had this idea, you know, he wasn't dead yet, he was asleep, so he'll get better. Well, there's a lot of people who were sleeping and they died in it, so I don't. But it's sort of like, you know, today, people have ideas about things, and if we say, you know, from generally speaking, he's talking. Well, it goes on, it said, however, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. See, Jesus is over in the area of the Spirit talking about. He's not talking from the standpoint of man. Well, so it goes on. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, guys. Guys, come on. You haven't heard a thing I've been talking about, have you? No, he's talking spiritual things. Now, and then understand this. These guys are walking along. How much has Jesus, Jesus has talked about them, about his crucifixion, his resurrection, everything. But they're tied to the natural. It isn't that they can't learn spiritual things and understand them. We go over and look at David. Look at the things that David understood and knew about God and operated. Here are these guys. They're walking around with the Messiah who is in 100% in tune with God the Father. And when he said anything I say, I don't say nothing unless God says. All the time they're hearing God talking, and they ain't got a clue. See, he didn't call you because you're bright. Let's get real, folks. He didn't call me because I was a rocket scientist. He called me in spite of, said, you know, he's so dumb, I might be able to work for him. he don't know enough to wake up in the morning, I gotta wake shake him. I'll tell you, he just... You know, get yourself over into things. Hearing revelation. And this is one thing that we need to learn even as Christians. You may be born again, but you got to learn to listen out of the inside instead of out of the outside.
Amen.
Listen out of the inside. Listen what's going on in you. Hallelujah. Well, Lazarus dead. He said, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there that you may believe. Neither let us go to him. Now he said to them, now this is what he said. He said, I'm glad for your sakes that I wasn't there. I'm glad. Now since, you know, people, you know, if you, somebody died and you said you were glad, what would people think of you? See, I'm convinced Christians never read this stuff. They never think about what it is what somebody taught. Well, look at, he said, I'm glad. Said, for your sakes, I'm glad he's died. Why? So he don't have to put up with you guys anymore. No. There's something going to happen. See, he knows what's going to happen. I'm glad this took place. Because, man, there's glory coming. God's going to do something wonderful.
Amen.
See, I've noticed one of the reasons in our day and time we don't see many people raised from the dead, especially in the United States, you don't see it. There's no faith for it. People don't even have faith toward that direction. When somebody dies, everybody quits.
Yeah.
Oh, they died now. Throw your faith out the window. You know God can't do nothing. I always talk about Smith Wigglesworth. First time Smith Wigglesworth, God used him to raise a guy from the dead. A guy died. And Smith Wigglesworth had a thing from his wife's standpoint and had from his standpoint. And he turned around and he went in and the guy had died and he went in the room. It was a guy who was in their neighborhood, actually lived in their neighborhood where he was, and he went in. And He prayed for him. He was praying for him, and he went and drug him out of bed, his body out of the bed, and he picked it up from the front, and he slammed the body against the wall, mm-hmm. and started talking to it. And his wife, was from her side, she said she was there in the room, and he started to drag a guy out of bed, and she said, "Oh, Smith, don't do this. Oh, Smith, you're going too far." Well, no, I'm only telling you, 99% of Christians think you went too far. You did that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you think? Somebody came in your house, took somebody out of bed. I'll tell you too, 90% of Christians would sue you immediately, mm-hmm. and they wouldn't be, "Oh, yeah, we believe God and He's big. So we know how big He is. He's in a jar over in the corner, about that big." I just... And he said, I started commanding that stuff, and he said, at first he said it was just me. And he said, all of a sudden, he said, a faith took a hold of me. He said, it wasn't mine. It wasn't mine. See, some of the things you got to do is move in a direction. See, here's why most time miracles and stuff don't happen to people. They don't ever do nothing. Mm-hmm. They don't do anything. He did something. And so, see, when people, you know, we're praying for God for a miracle. Well, let's act like a miracle is going to happen.
Amen. Amen.
Are we going to act like a miracle? We're going to act like God will do a miracle. You've got to start acting that way. People don't. Because to do that means you're going to have to do something out of the ordinary course of nature. Like he did. Picked a guy and put him against the wall. Jesus will do something here that's extraordinary. You know, he died. We're going to go up there. Let's go see the glory of God, guys. Let's go up this place. He's dead. You guys watch. You come. They don't get it. They still don't get it. So, heading in this direction, he said, and he said, so he went on, here it says, he said he was glad, that nevertheless, let us go up to him. Now listen to what Thomas says. Then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go up that we may die with him. Now isn't that a crazy thing to sound to say? Now I got looking this up and it's saying, I thought, this thing really sounds stupid, don't it? It does. Almost every translation of the Bible translates it like this. The Bible in basic English says, is the idea to let's go up with him who's died. Now it says it, but it's the only translation it does. But one of the things you have to hold, I thought, you know, I meditated on this. I thought, well, let's hold it to the context of what he's talking about. See, the disciples just got done talking about Jesus. You go up there, they won't kill you. We're gonna get down there and probably die with them. We're going to probably get down there and die along with you down there. So they're going to do some stoning. We're with him. looks like might happen to us too. Because, you know, now Thomas isn't like the sharpest knife in the drawer. He's a guy, he ain't going to believe Jesus. Even all the rest of them told him Jesus raised him from the dead. I ain't going to believe it until I see it. He's the guy who's the spark of faith. But you know what? After he was born again, changed him completely. He ended up dying preaching the gospel. So getting born again really changed him. But in this instance, and I thought about it, I thought, you know, that seemed just like at the end. This is, it seemed like Thomas saying something like this. He's more geared toward the natural side of things. And so we're going to go up there. We might as well go. Well, if he's going to die, let's go die with him. We're going down there with our stoning people. So, hallelujah. But, in this story, we can see from the spiritual to the carnal, it's all mixed in this story. It's all mixed through it. But Jesus is not nervous about any of it. He is staying fast on what he's called to do and the purpose of God in him. He don't let any of this throw him off in his direction of what he's doing. And you have to learn that. I learned along in my Christian walk. You can't let people, so many people, it's like today, we have all this stuff of everybody, what everybody else says and does and puts online and does all that. And everybody's always worried about all this stuff. You can't get off the focus of your destination, because if you get over with all people and what they're doing, trying to convince everybody of everything, and Jesus didn't try to convince them of nothing. He had his purpose. Let's go down, and I'm going to go down there, and God's going to put on a show. Come and see the show. You'll learn something.
Amen.
And let him say all their dumb stuff in between. But come on down with me. God has a good thing he's going to do down here. Let's go watch it. And getting in that. We need to do that because, see, there's people. People generally are tied in the natural of things. And, you know, what grabbed you in your life to make a change that you made a change? What happened? See, God supernaturally moved on me to change my life. Supernatural.
Yes.
I had people over the years preach the gospel to me. It didn't do a bit of good. Didn't do them a bit of good. A lot of most people ever talk to me, it was them talking. They were never anointed to talk. And see, we need to understand this. Man, we need God in everything we do.
Amen.
We need God and His anointing. We need His anointing at work. And just, I mean, God could meet me in a lunchroom by myself and come and visit in.
Mm-hmm.
He knew where I was at. He knows where you're at. He knows your people. Sitting around trying to do it, and too many people try to do things themselves. We don't. Man, we want to have the anointing of God. God's the one. You know, no one comes to the Son except the Father draw them. He didn't say, nobody comes to the Son unless you draw them. See, let's get God in on this thing. Well, God's in this thing, and Jesus knows it. Yeah. So he doesn't get tied all up in what the disciples do. He doesn't go through a teaching program and stuff with them to try to get them. He said, come on down, guys. You're going to see it. God got a plan, and it's a good one. So let's go see God's plan. And so they're heading in that direction. Well, it says, so when Jesus, verse 17, so when Jesus came, he found that he had already been dead in the tomb for 4 days. He's already been. This is a hugely important part, and you need to get a hold of this because of what the Jews believe. Understand, God is moving here. The Jews believed that the soul or the spirit of man stayed with the body for 3 days. That was their belief. So on the fourth day, this is beyond their idea. This is it's gone, you know. This is final. This is it. The fourth day comes. So see, God's operating outside their belief, what they think, or their thought. I don't know how they ever came up with that thought, but that was their thought and way of thinking. And so understand this about us. God, many times in moving, is not because we're believing right. He's doing things certain ways because of the way we believe. And He has to get past our believing.
Mm-hmm.
He's not justifying the thought that they had this thought for 3 days. It was there. It was the idea. God's bypassing this.
Amen.
Because it went over the boundaries they had set. So this is really a supernatural, miraculous event taking place here. This is not just the normal of raising an individual from a dead, because we know that Jesus did before. This is outside that. This is totally a different thing. Before we find when Jesus in dealing with people like with people who died, Jesus, these are like things that Jesus dealt with people like the man, Nain. This is somebody that had just died and raised from the dead. Okay, I'll bring it out. Anyhow, there's one thing that you're going to find this out about raising people from the dead. Let me just tell you about this. You need to get a hold of this. You will almost never find an old person get raised from the dead. Person who's lived out their life. Jesus never raised from the dead, and you're going to find if you follow the history of whoever raises people from the dead, that don't happen. Older people lived out their lives. They go. They're gone. See, we have our ideas and things about it, but you won't see that. And see, people need to understand this. See, this is why when people reach the end of the road, you now need to learn how to help them leave. If you don't, you cause them a lot of problems. And boy, Christians have caused people a lot of problems. People have suffered a lot. They shouldn't have ever had to suffer. You need to learn these things. See, we're trying to hang on to things. See, we're trying to hang on to stuff. Especially when a person's a Christian, let them go. Dear God, they lived out in this earth. Let them go on. You know? We want to hold on to them not because of our faith, it's because of all of our weakness. And we're trying to hang on to something and saying, man, you get the belief, my God, they're going home to their you know, reward. See, now I don't want them to go yet. I want to stay here and be miserable like I am. I want this to make me happy. Well, me, I'd be happy if they got blessed.
Amen. Amen.
And learn to understand these things. People have their ideas and they get them. I know in time, you know, people dying and are trying to get you to pray for an individual. And I said before, a guy wanted me to get his wife, raise his wife from debt. Well, when he came along, I mean, the end of life, he came along and lived longer than her. But he's in his 80s and his body is just failing him. I mean, things are just wrong, and he's not in a position to change anything. But I knew this is time for him to go home. And you know what? Now his kids, you know, they wanted me to pray for him, you know, to live, be healed, and I knew what we need to do is get this guy home. He's not in good shape, and he's suffering. He needs to be with Jesus and not with you. But the family, well, we don't want our daddy to go. We're going to miss our daddy. Well, get over it. He's in heaven. What, are you going to hell or something? You say you're a Christian. Amen. You know, I'm going to see my parents for eternity. You know, dear God, amen, they're in heaven, and thank God they ain't here. I'm glad my parents are not seeing what's going on in our nation today.
Agreed.
Amen. They're not living here in this nut house. I'm glad. Glory to God. They're in heaven. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And, you know, it's just all the years that they served God, they deserve a rest. Hallelujah. See, we need to get thinking, our thinking on right. Do we really want to bless people's lives? What do we want to do? And, you know, if you think about, you know, in 2 Corinthians, there was a guy in there who, he was living with his dad's wife. And the Bible tells us, really, Paul tells us from the spirit standpoint what God wanted. He said, turn him over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, that his soul will be saved in the day of Lord Jesus. God's whole interest was that he be saved. The church's interest, now we want him with us. What's your interest in people, really? What's your interest? See, we got to think about it. See, we can have the wrong motive in a lot of things that we're doing, saying we're doing a good thing. But it's not good if the motive isn't right.
Amen.
It's the motive. And get that in yourself, the motive. The big thing for the Lord was, get this guy straightened out. I don't want him in heaven. He ain't going to get this straight. I want him in heaven. I don't want this to keep going on. He keeps living like this. The devil haul him off. Next thing you know, he won't end up in heaven. I want him in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
God would rather have a person in heaven early than in hell later.
Amen.
You've got to identify this stuff. The interest that God has is in people being saved and end up in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And get thinking like that. See, what God is doing here in this instance, God is interested in the salvation of man. This is what it is. All that God is doing is the purpose is to save humanity. He's coming down here and they came to this point right here where they're at is the saving of humanity.
Amen.
Jesus is coming down there. He's laid his life down. He's done. He's heading down there. God's going to do one of the last hurrahs here in this big thing before Jesus gets crucified, before he's raised from the dead. Because look, after he's raised from, where are these people at down here that didn't believe him? He's raised from the dead and the Sanhedrin and all them are, we can't let this thing here with him being raised from the dead. Nobody needs to know about this thing. Let's stop this. Why? We got to stay in charge. You know, if anything else, we don't want God in charge. So see, God's whole purpose, but God's purpose is doing all of this, is trying to reach people. And you know, one of the things that we need to know, God may do a lot of things through us, and the whole intent is to reach people, yet people don't want it. But see, don't take that on yourself. Just think if Jesus would have only done what he did if he thought it was all going to work out great.
Amen.
He didn't. See, get yourself over that. Get yourself in that thinking of like, hey, we're going to do the will of God. God is trying to reach people. This is what he's trying to do. And he will try to reach the one who ain't paying attention and don't want it.
Amen.
But he'll still give a call.
Mm-hmm.
He'll give a call. So let him give a call. We might be that one that gives that call. The person don't respond. But God don't want to go to hell, go to the person, end up in hell and say, yeah, and you get there and find out, you know, I sent you over there to give him a call. You wouldn't. See, now I knew he wouldn't accept the call, but my job was that you would go there and get him a call, you know. So let's get into this. Jesus is en route here to do a miracle. This guy's been in the tomb for 4 days. Hallelujah. He's now, says, now Bethany, verse 18, was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women and Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. You know, I'm going to stop here. We're going to pick up next week here, because to go off on the rest of this, there's a lot more to go on to. But we want to see this thing as he comes here. We're going to find out that Jesus is in the same mode. He's trying to get people to move in a direction. And he talks to them about what they believe. And they say, yeah, I believe this, I believe that, but there's always a limitation. And, you know, understand, as we grow up spiritually, there's always limitations that we have in our believing. We always have a limitation. See, when you think you arrived, you set a limitation on yourself where you may never get past. Always understand you need to go further, be able to go further in your faith. You need to, and that's, is believing what the Word says. Jesus keeps coming. We'll find as we go through this, He keeps speaking the truth. He keeps saying the truth. Why? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. He keeps speaking it. Why? To bring faith. The Word comes always to bring faith to you. You know, even the standpoint, if God corrects you, it's to bring faith to you. Mm-hmm. His words bring faith. If you listen, correction will take you to another level of faith. Always understand that. It'll take you. God's Word brings faith. God's Word is spirit and it's life and it's light. Whether it's correction, whatever it is. It is. That's what it is. Get it within yourself as that's what it is. But it is always this, to move you to a place of faith. So, you know, too many people, God corrects and they get hurt feelings. And their hurt feelings, they never arrived any faith. In fact, they might end up losing faith that they had because of their emotions. There's one thing you have to learn about this. True Christianity, true faith will always take you to a place where you're not driven by your emotions. If you're driven by your emotions, you are having faith problems in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Emotion driven can't be, because faith cannot be driven by emotions. Not natural. One thing about emotions that come up out of the inner man, your inside man has emotions. Many times it never gets to be revealed. Wants to be, but can't. People won't lie. People let natural emotions dominate and rule about their natural feelings, because the flesh is full of feelings. Have you ever noticed that? Full of feelings about things. But your inner man does. And what's on the inside? And this is what you learn to listen to that on the inside. What you got on the inside, and we'll find as we go on to this, Jesus continues in this thing, is to bring people to faith. This is why, this is not a show-off thing. This is not God showing off. This is intent and purpose to take people to a level. And because people can't see, yet the light's in front of them. And have you ever had the light in front of you and you didn't see? Have you ever been there?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
But there's one thing, you know, everybody's been at that spot. But we want to do the things is understanding is walking in the light. We want to always become better at walking in the light. Get ourselves where seeing into the light is so much important to us. Always viewing that God's never, He's not out to get you. He's to take you to a place of faith to walk closer to Him. This is what He wants. If anything God wants of any human being in this earth, He wants that person saved and with Him. That's what He wants.
Amen.
It's always His intent and purpose. Always. Always, always, always. And you know, we look out here, we look at all these people out here doing all crazy things together. God wants them saved. I'm just going to tell you this. A lot of people ain't going to be saved. But nonetheless, God's intent, He'll keep speaking.
Amen.
He'll keep putting people out there saying things. And people say crazy things and nutty things. Believe me, I know. I was one of them that said a lot of crazy things and nutty things. But you know what? He kept talking.
Amen.
He kept talking.
Amen.
Why? To bring me to faith.
Amen.
His speaking to me was not to get me in trouble. I was already in trouble. He didn't need to do that.
Yes.
His speaking to me was to bring me to faith in Him. And always know that about Him. This is the wonder of Him. This is His love. As He speaks, He's always trying to bring people to light. Always trying to be. And so, praise God. He's a working on us.
Amen.
Isn't He?
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. So, we want to be, really, in closing this, we want to be what Jesus, we see in Jesus in her. Let God use us to bring light to this world.
Amen.
It might seem strange what He wants to do, but God wants to do that. He knows what it takes to reach some people. And it's just like with me. God didn't reach me like He does. There's many people reached in different ways. He had a different way that He reached me. He knew what it took to reach me.
Mm-hmm.
You need to understand this. We sometimes, we're trying to figure out how we're going to reach people. No, let's ask God about it. Because people, you're not going to reach everybody the same way. You're just not going to do it. But what's God want to do that'll reach people? What will God do? It's amazing. I've sat and listened to ministers tell stories how different people got reached and what God did. Sometimes it just blows your mind. You'd think a person that God would have gave up on, but God found a way to edge you to deal with that person. And all of a sudden, bang, that person's following Jesus. Just most outrageous things going on. And God uses somebody outside of whatever. It's not the norm. Hallelujah. Because I'm finding out there's not a normal people out there. And in this day and our age, we need an explosion of God's glory.
Yes.
That they might see that Jesus is the Messiah.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what, the old playbook ain't working.
Amen.
I'll tell you, we need to ask God. He got some new plays in the book. We need to find out His playbook. Hallelujah. And start running some of His Hail Marys. Let the ones that He wants to do. And you know what? When I came to the kingdom, they were doing that, and we've lost that.
Yeah.
We've become spiritually educated now. We know it all.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Well, I ain't got there yet. We need God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Father, we just say thank You tonight. Thank You for Your great kindness. Lord God, opening up these things to us. Lord, You're not criticizing us. You're giving us light. So we can walk in the glory and take Your glory out into this earth. Hallelujah. God, You want to do wonderful and marvelous things, and You will do in these last days. And our desire is, Lord, to step into that place that You have made for us. Hallelujah, in this, that Your glory can be revealed. Hallelujah. Because You do it through people, just like You did with Jesus in the earth. You revealed Your glory. Hallelujah. And in the same way You'll do through the church. Lord God, we look at the apostles in the book of Acts. How, Lord God, You revealed Your glory. You did Your wonderful things through them. Hallelujah. And in the same way, the church of this day is exactly the same as the church that day. Your glory will be revealed through the church. Hallelujah. And Lord, I thank You because many will come to the light of the glory of God. They'll come and walk in the light. And Your glory will rise in these last days. Hallelujah. Then many, Lord God, that people thought were too far away will come near. Hallelujah. Many, Lord God, that people say, oh, it's too late. Hallelujah. It will not be late for them. Hallelujah. They will come into the kingdom. And we give You the glory. Hallelujah. Because You're the God who saves the lost. Hallelujah. He does it. He's not after the found. He's after the lost. Hallelujah. And Lord God, so many people are considered lost to the church world, but they're not lost to You. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I say thank You, Lord God. Hallelujah. For bringing them in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.